Good afternoon. Today is Friday, October the 11th, 281st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Assistant Fire Chief for Humble Bay Fire, Bill Gillespie. Hey, guy.
Hey, how are you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm not getting ready for hundreds of kids coming knocking tomorrow.
Oh, we're prepping up for it to be busy. We're hoping to see lots of them.
Are we going to have open flame?
No.
No hamburgers? No hot dogs?
We're going to have some barbecue going, so I guess that would qualify for open flame.
There we go. Just checking in.
Yeah, we'll have some refreshments around there.
Oh, good. A little alcohol mixed in with open flame at the fire department. We'll give you some more details when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Tom Peters. Quote, formula for success, under-promise and over-deliver.
There you go.
Pretty simple. So there's not going to be any food there tomorrow at all, folks, for anybody who might happen to come by. Yeah, I don't believe that one
either.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, there's always refreshments and goodies.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about the open house first, and then we can catch up on some of the news stuff from the last couple of weeks or so.
You bet.
What is the goal, Bill, of having the open house, other than the recognition of fire service folks that have gone beyond the call of duty, either have lost their lives or been injured or just doing yeoman work?
It's kind of a twofold, really. We use it as an opportunity to be able to open up the department to the people we serve, so they can come in and they can see who their fire department is, see the equipment, the facility, maybe pick up some fire safety tip or something like that to take home. Kids always get a kick out of it, tours. But it also coincides with National Fire Prevention Week. It's run every week. That time of year, the week that contains October 9th. And the reason it ties into that is the story of the Great Chicago Fire. And so the National Fire Protection Administration said that's a great poster week for the fire service nationwide. So there's going to be things going on all across the country during that week and that day.
Is that fact or fiction?
Everything I've been able to read sounds pretty good. You know, Mrs. O'Leary's cow and the lantern and the rest is history. Half the city's burned.
It would seem like kind of a big giggle. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. It happened then. Couldn't happen now. Could it happen now?
You could have the conditions right to have a large burn through. I mean, we saw it just more a rural setting, but we saw it just a few weeks ago over south of Redding. Burning through a bunch of neighborhoods and a bunch of houses and that sort of thing. And unfortunately, one person perished at their residence.
That situation, I could see neighborhoods a little different than downtown.
Right.
So much with the commercial stuff. I mean, you guys come through, you look for sprinklers.
Right.
You look for this, you look for that. What kind of materials? Ding-a-ding-a-ding. Particularly if you throw the onus on top for California landowners and new construction, it's even more... Yeah, I would think that drowning would be a higher likelihood than a fire in a lot of these newer buildings.
In a lot of them. Some of the ones we've got here in Eureka that predate sprinkler requirements. Look at 2006 when we had the fire at 3rd and G Street. We had that night on that fire, we had a very real probability of not holding it to the building of fire origin. We were anticipating the next building or the block.
Oh, getting down to the Ingemore Theater?
Possibly.
That was a big
fear that we had that night trying to hold it. And that's the reason, if people remember, three ladder trucks up. We brought Arcadas in also, flowing a lot of water. The water department told us we flowed 800,000 gallons of water that night trying
that's
to
that's kind
to
of impressive, isn't it?
That's a lot of water. That's a lot of gallon milk jugs.
Yeah, we do that a couple of times. I don't think the water district would have any problems in hitting the old contract for the pulp mills.
Oh man, it was a big draw, but you know, I mean, with the old buildings, we've still got the potential in, especially our downtown area here in Eureka.
As you look around, let's just say the various mm-hmm. commercial districts in Humboldt County,
mm-hmm.
certainly the old town area with the old Redwood, yeah, okay, lack of fire block, mm-hmm. got that. Are there other commercial areas that are maybe not as flammable but equally concerning for fire protection?
There are. You look at historically fires like around the Arcata Plaza, you've got a lot of businesses, old construction, a lot of businesses sandwiched together. So
the Marino's fire wouldn't be that extraordinary.
Exactly. They had significant potential to clean a block off at that point. The same thing if we look to the south of us, the business district, downtown Lolita or Ferndale, a lot of the same thing, buildings built close together, predated sprinkler systems. Fortuna's got it. It's each one's got the potential to be able to march a city block or more.
If there was a structure as engulfed as what you had at the old Globe Imports at mm-hmm. 3rd and G in one of those other settings,
mm-hmm.
because of the distance of the response, could it be contained, or do you think that there would be multiple buildings that would go?
It all depends, weather, everything else, placement of the fire, excuse me. But, you know, in a lot of cases, the various departments, whoever it is, recognizes early, hey, we need help, and they make that call quickly. We trade back and forth with Arcata a lot. We go to the south a little less often, but we can still be there in about 15 or 20 minutes at most.
So you take the same route I do.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Except people get out of, well, they get out of my way too. KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. Bill, this time of the year, you know, obviously for you guys, it's the open house and, you know, burn the hot dogs and
right.
you know, et cetera, et cetera. But for a lot of folks, we're kind of starting. I know the Illinois Valley
mm-hmm.
had frost advisories
right
last week. Okay. It's starting to get a little bit cooler here on the coast. We haven't fired up the heater on a regular basis, but I know
right.
that there are a lot of folks that have or that there will be in the next little bit.
Right.
What are some of the do's and don'ts with that? Just as a, you know, you change your battery in the detector, what should you do with your heater?
Right. Well, one of the big things, I mean, we're headed into fall. You know, the colors are changing. It's starting to get colder. I know my heater started kicking on again with the thermostat. One of the big things that we see in our community with so many old homes are floor furnaces in the home. And all summer they've been forgotten. The thermostat's been turned all the way down, but it doesn't turn the heater all the way off. So when the temperature in the house gets low enough, the thermostat comes on. What we see this time of year is a lot of people, you know, during the summer, you don't want the grate sitting there, so you put a throw rug over it. When the thermostat kicks on, the heater kicks on, exactly.
Your rug gets sucked in. Yeah,
yeah, you're it's running, and the heat can't go anywhere. The floor furnace catches on fire because something's blocking the top of it. Or we've gone to a number of calls where, you know, during the summer, the pet hair has gotten down in the furnace, the kids' toys, army men, when they melt, they burn pretty good. Or even you know, like a wall heater in the house. You've been making space, so you push the sofa back a little bit, and it's up against the wall heater. The heater comes on with the thermostat, something's in front of it, and we see a number of fires because of stuff too close.
Is it the heat that causes it? Is it the drying out? I mean, you look at most sofas, and you don't think, boy, this is going to be, you know, like the old Christmas tree.
Right, right. A lot of times it's just the up-close contact, and the heat builds to the point then it ignites. We'll see. We'll go to fires, and you chase it down. I'll look at the back of the sofa was over the floor furnace, or the back of the sofa up against the wall heater, and that's where it ended up starting.
So what I know that we got boiling points. So what is the catch on fire point? How hot does it have to get?
Right. If it's a cardboard, a wood product, something like that, it's 451 degrees is the point that it'll free burn. It's off-gassing enough that it'll go. Upholsteries, some of them are above that. Some of them can be below that. Rugs, plastic, that kind of thing. Over the top of the grate, you can hit that temperature that they melt or ignite quite a bit below.
So if it's starting to feel warm, that's
right.
A pretty good indication. Just
exactly,
doesn't matter if it's slightly warm or
you get it. If it's warm to the touch, maybe it's a little too close,
other than like a heating pad or something like that.
Exactly, something like that that's electrical, that's designed, you know, to go on the body. It's not supposed to get hot enough that it'll catch something on fire.
That probably wouldn't pass the underwriter lab.
Yeah, UL would probably have some issues with that, wouldn't they?
So good, just to kind of walk through each room. Is that kind of what you guys suggest?
Yeah, you know, walk through and do a home safety check. See, hey, is the sofa or the recliner too close to the heater? Do we have the furniture pushed right up to the edge of the floor furnace? We all maximize space. Well, they need air going into them to keep them cool while they're creating heat. If we block that, they can catch on fire. Same thing around wood stoves and fireplaces. You know, you get the stuff encroaches in because we haven't been using them. You light the first fire, and now something's too close.
Now you're using a little too much, yeah.
Of course, good time to thinking about those to get somebody out to run the brush down the flue.
We were seeing that. You got the gutters.
Exactly.
Particularly if you have a Monterey pine tree across the house.
Yeah.
Or across the street.
They fill up quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good time probably also for the batteries, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just to do a quick battery check of
exactly.
Whatever you've got.
Exactly. You know, it's a good point. We're headed into the wintertime. Check the flashlights. Check the smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, that kind of thing. Just make sure it's all operational.
What percent of the fires do you think would be eliminated if what we've just talked about was done?
You know, for the heating-related stuff that we can attribute back, it probably would knock out quite a few of them, because the majority of them we see are combustibles too close. Something that'll burn wood, paper, you know, carpet, just too close to the device. And if you had the clearance, you don't have the opportunity for it to start.
So between that and a smoke detector battery being in, you guys would be not having anything to do?
Oh, there'd be plenty to do, but it would help potentially reduce the chance from, you know, a heater or something like that.
Good deal. Well, hopefully we'll be able to put that to the
exactly.
test, baby.
Exactly. Fingers crossed.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 324. Let me try that again. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 330.
Are you thinking about opening or expanding your business in McKinleyville? Come see what the McKinleyville Shopping Center has to offer. We're holding an open house for prospective tenants this Wednesday, October 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. We have great lease rates and incentives. Benefit from the foot traffic generated by quality businesses like Safeway, Ramon's Bakery, Subway, and Napa Auto Parts. Call us at 268-1800 with any questions or visit McKinleyvilleShoppingCenter.com. Come join us this Wednesday from 4 to 7.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie, Operations Chief. See, I read your badge. Right?
Yeah, you saw it on the name tag,
yeah,
the badge.
Yeah, yeah. Every once in a while. I'm attracted by shiny things.
Well, you know, glow.
Me and dogs. Woof, woof. Yeah, squirrel. Bill, tomorrow at the fire station, the downtown fire station,
yeah,
you guys are going to be having your event, inviting people, or you've been inviting, but people will be invited,
right,
to come on down.
People to come in and see us.
See what's going on. What is the goal? Not necessarily what your goal is, mm-hmm, but how are you going to judge success?
One of the ways we look at it is just the overall flow of people into the location. Quite often in any one of these given years in the past, we've seen 1,000, 1,500 people come through the fire station during the time frame from 10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. We look at it from that aspect. Honestly, we also look at it, gauge it. Oh, hey, look how many dozen cookies we went through. And of course, you got to discount some of it for the firefighters.
You do that when the door is locked.
Exactly. But, you know, we look at the flow, and is the crowd staying pretty consistent, or do they thin down? You know, obviously, this time of year, we compete a little bit in the mornings with youth soccer and that kind of thing. But it stays pretty steady throughout the day once people get going.
So when it's all said and done,
mm-hmm,
with all the events you have scheduled,
right,
all the different, all the autograph seekers, how will you feel good?
You know, the biggest piece of it is just being able to be there, to be able to talk with the community and the people we serve, to interact face-to-face. For a lot of people, it's the only opportunity they get, and that's fortunate. You know, if they don't ever have to call for our services, great. But it gives the ability for them to shake hands with us, to talk with us. Maybe they got a question that, hey, I've got this, or I've heard this, and maybe we can give them some fire safety information or a little clarification or guidance.
So as you're working that down and you're looking at it and trying to figure out where things are, where they need to be, that kind of stuff.
Right.
What should people expect? Are they going to get a lot of handouts, a lot of attaboys?
It's kind of a combination event. There, we're going to have vendors in the building itself that are related to maybe the fire service or medical services, that kind of thing, where they can gain information from either businesses or maybe people like the Red Cross. Police department will have usually has a table there. They'll be set up.
You let them on?
Oh, yeah. We work well with them. We play well.
Yeah, it must be something. Ken must want to be getting on the good side of Andy then, huh?
You bet.
Yeah, okay.
And then outside, we have different stuff set up. Usually we'll have, like, city ambulance. If they're not chasing calls at that time, we'll be there. People can see the different stuff. And then one of the big attractions, and we're going to run it a couple of times throughout the day, is a 1904 steam fire engine. So we'll be going
through.
Are
you going to have a hose off between the 1904 and the new truck?
One?
Yeah.
In theory, we could, because we've got a demonstration of the new truck as well going to go on during the day.
Is that going to be in the parking lot across the street?
That's going to likely be right in the back lot there at headquarters. And have it come in and kind of show some of the capability and what it can do. Fly it up, fly it around. People can look it over, ask questions, that kind of thing.
No climbing ladders, though.
Nah, we're gonna hold that one just to those who have been in for a while.
The guys who are covered by comp.
Exactly. that workers comp thing, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you anticipate anybody staying there for more than an hour?
I mean, you know, every year we seem like we do have people that might stick around for a couple hours. We've had people, some of them that you'll see them in the morning, and then maybe they leave, and then they come back. Maybe they've got went and picked the kids up from some sort of an event, or hey, let's go back down there and check some stuff out and
understand
get
they
some
have
more
lunch,
cookies
yeah.
And,
yeah,
and you know go on a maybe catch the tour of the station that you missed earlier.
Looking for the open flame.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So the time frame is roughly 10 to 4.
Yeah, 10 to 3.
Okay, you guys shut it down at 3?
Yeah, we start breaking it down at 3, figure, okay, that gives a good time frame for people to get in, and then it still gives us time to be able to break everything down that night and put everything away.
Is the department, is the community at risk at all because so many of the, I guess the public safety folks are in one location, and are the other stations at risk at all, or do you guys have that figured out?
What we end up doing, we still maintain coverage in the community, so we've still got engines that are away from the location. And what we do, we cycle them in, you know, on a time frame. Maybe the engine from Redwood Acres will come down for a couple hours during the day, and then they go out and another one comes in. And so we've got them moving around, and then we got a lot of people keeping their eyes open around the facility, you know, with everybody coming around just to make sure everybody has a safe day.
Don't want to lose a fire truck, do you?
No, yeah, that'd be kind of hard to explain.
Rather embarrassing. KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. Bill, in addition to the open house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's kind of what everybody's focus is, and,
right.
you know, the warm touch stuff. Last week you had a little bit of a situation, and I guess a lot of us really don't appreciate the volatility
mm-hmm.
when you guys are responding either to a grow house
right.
issue or a meth house
right.
issue. Now, I seem to recall that there was a certain press release that said, fire started on the front porch, couple $1,000 worth of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, driving by it, it looks like a flamethrower was on the front. The whole thing's gutted out and is barely standing. How do you guys respond to a situation like that where it's either a known or a suspected drug house?
When we go to it, in the case of the response, we still go to try and put the place out. To search it and make sure that there's nobody in there. Like in the case of the fire last week, you know, we got there, the first unit reported smoke showing, so we knew we had a working fire at that point. They got there, quite extensive fire in the front porch area and the front of the house, and we will get questions sometimes, well, saw the fire engine there, and they pulled the hose to the back of the house. They didn't put the fire out. They went past it. Well, in the case, the crew made a really good call in that one. Yeah, they went to the back of the house, forced the door, and came back up through it to push the fire out the front rather than force the fire in. And the crew got pinned down. They took some heat in there. And fortunately, the crew that was on the truck that day, part of them were doing a search for victims. Fortunately, nobody inside. And then the other part of the crew was cutting a hole in the roof to let the heat and the smoke start going upward. As soon as they got that hole popped, they were able to carry the fire the rest of the way out. And for a pretty intense amount of fire, they had knockdown within about 15 minutes.
With the fact that there was chemicals involved,
mm-hmm.
Not water
right.
chemicals involved,
right?
Does that make the fire burn hotter, or they're just toxic fumes that
is a concern? It depends on the situation. If the product is there at the time, it can increase the fire. It can make it burn hotter or more intense. If it's stuff that was there in the past, but the residue's still in the floor, the carpet, the whatever, what we run into then is the toxic fumes that are coming off of the fire as it's burning. And, you know, we go in and we're on air, but we absorb it into our turnouts, which in turn we absorb it into our skin, and you end up picking up
Can you feel it?
You can like...
Or just got to have a sense that there's
probably
something?
The biggest thing, anytime you go interior like that and there's a lot of smoke, you get done later and you're cleaning up, you're taking a shower, you can still smell it in the shower. As you're washing your hair, that kind of thing, you can still smell the smoke. Well, you know everything that was in the smoke still lingering on you until you get to that point, including chemicals from a meth lab or that sort of thing.
So do you guys use soap or do you have like chemical balancers or?
You end up with something like that. It's predominantly standard shower and a regular cleansing soap. It's like what any of us would buy. We've got a special turnout cleanser that we use for the gear we wear. And there was a steady line of people washing turnouts afterwards, and we found
you don't
out,
just put it in the washing machine.
No, we've got the big washing machines there at the station, and able to clean the stuff up because otherwise, then you carry it in your turnouts and you put them back on, you put them in the station, and you never get rid of the cycle.
So in that kind of a scenario where mm-hmm. it's fluid, it's volatile, mm-hmm. there's stuff. Why not let the place burn down? Just say, you know what? We're not going to let the neighbors go. But this thing, we don't know what we're dealing with here.
Right.
I don't want to expose my guys. We're sure that it's safe. Everyone is out.
Right.
Burn, baby, burn, and just start hosing down the landscaping around it and not worry about it.
Some of it depends on how, if it would have been, in this case, like the other day, would have been fire throughout the building at the time when they got there. The determination may have been to say, you know what, it's risk versus gain. It's too great a risk to go in.
So 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later.
It could have been a different ballgame. The big thing that we were key after at that point was, are the victims inside? You know, whether they're lawfully or not, if there's somebody in there, if we can make a rescue, then we'll try and get them out. And so that's one of the big things versus, pulling up saying, well, it is what it is, and we'll risk a lot to save a lot. And in that case, it's the life of the person, far more than the property.
As I recall, it's the press release indicated mm-hmm. that it started on the front porch.
That's what it appears.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it was you or me passing by
mm-hmm.
and deciding we want to create a little mayhem,
mm-hmm.
if it's somebody who accidentally did something, can you tell with something that's as intense as that you guys let go, unless there's like a container that says gas that survives the fire?
Right.
Do you just kind of go, something happened here, we're not really sure what?
Right.
Can the investigators get through that?
Right. There's a lot of them, a lot of fires that come up as undetermined just because with fire, the evidence is going away from the moment it's burning. Versus some other crime that stays there. You try your best.
Be happy, be popular tomorrow, dude.
Hey, I will. We'll see you out there.
Thanks, Bill. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill Gillespie. Join us tomorrow for more. Well, actually, tomorrow is shopping show, open house. It's next Monday.
We'll
see you next time.